You're listening to Finance for Beginners. This is the podcast that demystifies how Wall Street investment works, including all of that confusing jargon and what it all means to you. It's explained to you by veteran investor and broker, John Lemmerman. So hi, John.
Hi, Roger. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you very much. So I have a question. I guess we talked about stocks being part ownership in a company, right? And so my question there is, if I own enough shares of that company, can I take over ownership of the company? Is it possible to buy the entire company that way?
It's possible, and it's also possible to control a company without owning the entire float, meaning without owning every single share. If you get above the 50% threshold, typically you're able to outvote on all the things that come up, you know, for the board of directors to consider and things like that.
Now, who's a voting member? Who votes?
Any shareholder.
Okay.
Any shareholder. There's very rare exceptions to that. Google has specialized shares of stock, and some of their stock has extra voting rights, and you'll find there's, in rare exceptions, there's complicated stock control issues with some stocks, but most stocks, most companies are, if you own one share, you get one vote. If you own a million shares, you get a million votes.
Oh, okay. So coming back to that, so I control 51% of the company, or 51% of the shares, that means I control 51% of the votes?
Right.
Okay. And so it's kind of hard to get outvoted that way.
Right, you can't get outvoted.
So you don't have to own it in its entirety. So all you have to do is own 51%.
Or one share over 50%.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. We have that. Is it necessary to own all of those shares, or can I get friends of mine to vote with me and control 50 plus 1% of the shares through a coalition of myself that owns 25 and somebody else that owns 10? And do you see where this is going?
Yeah. So it's a lot like politics. It's a lot like, I think, almost the Electoral College. I think the Walton family, pertaining to Walmart, as far as the original Sam Walton's heirs, they each have large blocks, and they'll come together and vote as a unit, but sometimes they don't do that. You know, they don't always march in lockstep.
Okay. So they don't necessarily, not any one member of that family owns controlling interest in the company.
Right. But together as a group, when they vote as a group.
It's their company.
Right.
Right. So they got to get along at Thanksgiving time.
Exactly.
So I get that. Okay. So it's possible for somebody to, now, I guess the board of directors, how is the board of directors, how is that structured? When you're talking about the board of directors of a company, who appoints the directors? Who appoints? I'm assuming there's a chairman of the board. Where does that come about?
So, it will come before the stockholders to vote on the board of directors. The CEO can sometimes make interim appointments, and I believe just in the past week, past 10 days, outside interest took a ownership of a significant block of shares of Pfizer stock, and I believe they are insisting that they get a seat at the board of directors because they've done this to have valid representation, because they're a minority position. They don't have 50% plus one.
But they still have a big chunk.
Yes. Yeah. So you have leverage the bigger the percent of the company you own, the more you can get your way on making things happen.
Okay. Okay. So if you don't like the way the company is being managed, for example, or if you don't like the current business decisions that are being made, then you can get in the middle of that and influence that somehow. So for example, when you have a major company that General Electric comes to mind, where, you know, somebody finally came along and said, you know, we're General Electric, we shouldn't be in the credit business, let's get out of that kind of thing, when they did that a few years ago. So that was a direction change that somebody made at the top, right? And so that would be at the board, generally speaking?
It would be at the board level, but you asked me about hedge funds in a prior podcast. Mm-hmm. And a couple of guys, Bill Ackman and Carl Icahn specifically, what they'll do is they'll look at a poor performing company and they'll say, I can make changes, I can unlock some shareholder value. And so they will buy up a proportion of the company and then insist on changes, including maybe one or several board members, to steer the company into a better direction, into a more profitable direction, they hope.
Now, is that what they refer to as a hostile takeover? Is that
only if it's all the way taken over?
Okay. So a takeover would be somebody who just literally has enough control that they control the board. They control 50 plus one.
Right.
Okay. So that's what that is. So and then what that does is that presumably, if they do it right, is going to increase value for the company.
Correct. If they do it right, and situations that will happen is someone with bad direction has too much of the company and they can run it right into the ground. And so sometimes it takes somebody saying, you know what, I see the assets that this company has. This company could do much better if we were in a different direction. So sometimes there will then be, if they get board of directors seats, they will then lobby other members of the board of directors to fire the CEO and get a new CEO as well.
So yeah, politics.
Right.
Politics. So that's what we have when we're talking about takeovers and we're talking about controlling stock and all of this kind of stuff. So that's... And presumably that's how things are done in the corporate world. As an investor, these are the things that I need to watch out for, correct? I need to do my homework if I'm going to put money into that company.
Right. So, for instance, if you have noticed that Pfizer has just been sliding ever since COVID, it's been going downhill, you may think, wow, Pfizer might be a turnaround situation now that, you know, some forces headed in a different direction.
And as a casual investor, I can take a look at that, you know, and say, you know, my measly 100 shares or whatever it is, I might say, you know, I could probably put that money someplace else, that right now this doesn't look real good. And when I hear that they're looking at Mr. Big Shot coming in, Carl Icahn or somebody like that, who's going to come in, who has a history of turning companies around, that, well, might be a good time to buy. So what I need to do is keep abreast of these things and pay attention, because it's going to affect my personal bottom line as well. I'm not going to take over the company. I'm not, you know, but my own personal stake in the company will rise or fall depending on the decisions that these people are making.
If you ever watch Jim Cramer on Mad Money, a show that's on CNBC on weeknights, for years he has said, follow Nelson Peltz. If Nelson Peltz intervenes into a company, buy that company, because he will turn it around.
Oh, okay. So you have people like that who are superstars within that organization who have a track record. So, cool. So, well, John, thank you so much. That was very informative. I appreciate that. I'm Roger Humphrey, and on behalf of myself and John Lemmerman, we thank you so much for listening, and we hope you find the information really valuable. If so, please stop by Finance for Beginners for another episode. Hey, if you've got any questions, please leave them in the comments down below. I promise we will read them. The content of this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and does not constitute financial, investment, or legal advice. The opinions expressed by the host and guests are their own and may not reflect the views of their respective organizations or employers. While we strive to provide accurate and up-to-date information, financial markets are subject to fluctuations, and the information provided may become outdated or change over time. Always do your own research and consult with a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions or taking any financial actions. We may discuss products, services, or strategies, but our recommendations are not endorsements. Any potential conflicts of interest will be disclosed as applicable. We do not receive compensation for promoting any specific financial products or services. By listening to this podcast, you agree that the hosts, guests, and producers are not liable for any losses or damages resulting from your reliance on the information provided.